you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. So, here's what happened this week. So, Mark Aline writes the question. He's laughing now because he's wondering why we're only doing verse 10. Mark Aline writes the questions for the Sunday school hour, and I inform him of what text I'll be preaching, and then he creates the questions, and I put them in the bulletin. And I told him verses 10 through 13. So he did his job and fulfilled the requirements asked of him. And then I started writing a sermon and got 3 or 4 pages into verse 10 and thought, this is good enough. So we're doing just verse 10 today. So as far as your Sunday school hour goes, you've got these questions. So it'll serve two purposes. Number one, the first question does address this text. So you can talk about it. And if you have more discussion about this verse alone, continue that in your small group. Otherwise, you have 3 more questions that will essentially become then kind of preparation for next week's message, which would be probably good to discuss. So your class can kind of weigh your options there and do as you feel is right. But that's why your questions are not quite matching the text that I have. So we're just doing verse 10 today. So Ephesians 6:10. I'm going to read it. We're going to pray. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Let's pray. Father, we are weak without you, and we need your strength. So make us strong. Make yourself known. Infuse yourself into all of our minds and hearts, and weave yourself into my words and into our thoughts, and don't just be here and there, but just be pervasively involved in everything that happens here this morning. And pray that you would be honored, that you would be worshiped by our hearts, that our minds would glorify you, that we would be satisfied in you, that we would see you for who you truly are, that our view of you would grow, that we'd see how big you are, and how grand and how glorious and how satisfying and how pleasurable and how lovely and how beautiful. And I pray that as we jump into your word, that you would help me to explain your word in such a way that it changes hearts. So this is more than a theological exercise we request, Father. We want transformation from this information. So grant that to us this morning. Help us to be the kind of people who take these truths and live them out throughout the week. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 10, Paul says, finally, and finally, he's at finally, because we've been in Ephesians for over a year, and finally, we're at the end of Ephesians, and really, we've got like a couple months left. So it's not really a finally for you, but if you were just reading this, it's more of a finally. So we're at the end, and the finally word there really does connect well, because he's not disregarding everything he said before this. He's adding it to it. So this word finally is like, okay, now don't disregard everything I just said, but in addition to it, listen to what I have to say. And what Paul's going to jump into is a much broader idea. So what he's really saying is, as we get into the spiritual battle over the next few weeks, what a spiritual battle is really like and what it's all about and what is required of us and what's happening in reality in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm, all those elements that we're going to discover through this spiritual warfare. What Paul is saying is that all this stuff I'm about to tell you about all that spiritual warfare, that is relevant to every single command I just gave you. Marriage, parenting, slavery, relationships, how you imitate Christ, how you manage your anger, how you manage your sin, or how you choose not to sin, how you live in a new life, how you walk in light. All those things are part of this, what he's about to say, finally. That finally, In all of those things, there is this reality underneath it all, or maybe over it all. But somehow, even within, say, your marriage, there's spiritual warfare. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. That's kind of what Paul says there in chapter 5. We went over that for about 3 weeks. What Paul's saying is that there's warfare there. That is part of all of this other stuff. So to get there, we need something for that battle. So for that spiritual warfare, as we walk into it. So as I go and love my wife, as I go and attempt being a good parent, as I go and do the things that Paul's commanding me to do, he's saying, you will face spiritual warfare. So be prepared. All right, Paul, I want to be prepared. What should I be prepared with? And he's going to tell us that. But before he tells us how to be prepared for the battle, he tells us what to be before we get prepared. Is everyone following me? Okay, so we are going to go into war in all the things that Paul told us to do. And before we go into war, we need this verse first. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So we need that preparatory truth first. Before I pick up any armor, before I put on anything or take up anything that Paul will tell us to do later, first I have to establish this reality to be strong in the Lord. So let's try to understand this strength. The question for me is this. These are two general questions I always ask. So how do I be strong in the Lord? And why must I be strong in the Lord? So there's a how and there's a why. Why should I do this? What's my motivation, Paul? Why should I be strong in the Lord? And once you help me understand why, I need to know how. I need the details. So let's try to understand what strength is. We're supposed to have this strength. He says, be strong in the Lord. Now imagine we're working out together. And you're doing the bench press, and I'm spotting you. So I'm sitting over you, and you're doing a bench press, trying to push the bar up. You know, you're like this. You're trying to push the bar up like this, and I'm sitting over you. And as you're struggling to get the bar up on your last rep, I say, come on, man, be strong. That call that I give you is going to move. Is going to do something inside. It's going to move you. It's going to motivate you. It's going to challenge you. It's going to cause you to search every muscle fiber in your body for every single, I don't know what, protein? I don't know. Everything that your body uses for energy and every carb or every whatever that it needs to push that final stretch, that call, be strong, is going to have you go look for that strength that is already there. So when that call comes, you're not producing strength. Your strength comes when you're healing. You're not producing strength. You're retrieving strength that is already present and available in you. Okay, that's what that weightlifter is doing. That's when I say be strong. I'm not telling you that you need to be stronger than you are fully capable of being. I'm saying be stronger than you're displaying, even because you are more capable of being stronger, because it's in there, it's in you. And so this call, this command to be strong, is to look for strength that is already there, to call it to action, and to push forward toward the goal. So similarly, when Paul tells us to be strong in the Lord, he's not calling us to produce strength. He's telling us strength is already available, and it's yours. You already own it, and you already possess it, and the command is not telling you to go and do something. He's not telling you to run off and lift weights. He's not even saying, go read the Bible and get stronger. He's not saying, go pray more and be stronger. He's not telling you to go do anything necessarily that active. But he is telling us to do something. The command is for us to simply
Be.
That's the command.
Be.
Just be. Which is a verb. It's an action word. To be. Being is an active state of existing in who you are. Does that make sense? It's a verb because you are still existing. You're constantly being. But it's contrary to most verbs, where most verbs would be like go and do and, you know, eat or drink or follow. I mean, those are things that we're pursuing. And being doesn't require that kind of action. It's just an activity because we always maintain our being. So Paul is saying, be strong, simply be. So he's not telling us to pursue an action. He's telling us to remain, to be, to stay in character. To be who we are. And we are in Christ. That is who we are to be. So when he says, be strong in the Lord, he's like, be in Christ. This whole concept of being in Christ is laced all throughout Ephesians. It is a huge concept that Paul is completely reliant on when he explains these things. So when he says be, he's talking about be in that person, in Christ, as you are in Christ. And what he's telling us is, in Christ, we are strong because Christ is strong and we're in him and we have him and he's ours. So the command is not to go get more strength. It is to be in Christ and depend on him as our source of strength. Now back in Ephesians 3:20, Paul said, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. How does he do this? According to the power at work within us. Strength is already there. It's already within us. It's not our strength. We cannot produce more strength like the weightlifter. When strength appears to be produced, it's us accessing more of his strength, which is what we would say is our strength. So simply, we need to be in his strength. And this is Paul's call, not to go get strong necessarily. And on a physical level, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's a physical element to this where he's telling us to be strong, because I will tell you from just a personal level, and I'm sure a lot of you experience this as well, that I am desperately in need of God's strength when I'm physically tired. Or especially when I'm doing something spiritually exhausting. And when those things happen, then I need the strength of God. I need to call on him. I need him to provide it. I remember once I was preaching, and the night before, I just couldn't sleep. I got like, I think it was like 3 hours of sleep, which means that like my brain was in slow motion. And I had to preach. This is before I was here, don't worry. Or some of you are like, I remember that sermon. No, I'm teasing. It was back when I was in Montana, and I just remember sitting there, and they were playing the music beforehand, and I was getting ready to go up, and I'm like, I should have written down better notes, because I can't even, I can't even think, I'm so tired. And then they sang a song, and honestly, I can't remember the name of the song, but all I remember, it was all about calling on God for strength, and I was like, good song. Okay, God, I need your strength. And, you know, he just totally provided and really, you know, supplied me the physical strength and ability and physical mental agility, really, to perform something spiritual and physical, such as preaching. And so it's more than just a spiritual reality. It's a physical reality as well that we face, in which we need strength. And so the call is not necessarily to go get strong, but to lean on, rely on, turn to, count on, hope in, trust in, believe in, call upon the strength of Christ to activate in you. So then Paul goes on in verse 10 and he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So our strong does not just come from his might. Our strong is his might. All of your strength is his might. And his might has endless strength. So we have an unlimited resource of strength. Doesn't mean we will get unlimited strength, but we have an unlimited resource. And all that which you are strong in, believers, is his might in you. That's a reality we need to grasp. So if you're truly, if we are to truly just be who we are made to be in Christ, then we will be strong, and that strength that we possess is his might, which is full of the abundance of strength beyond anything we could ask or think. So we are to be in that strength. But we are already possessing that strength, right? So, like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be in the strength, but already possess strength because I'm in Christ. So, like, there's got to be, like, an action that I can, like, go do. First of all, Paul's like, no, you just be in it. But there's got to be something more. Like, so I'm just supposed to just simply be? That doesn't provoke me to action. That doesn't call me to move. That doesn't make me go and do and strive and be more than just being here doing nothing. So I could say to you then, well, if that's how you feel, because that's how I felt when I read this, like, well, tell me to do something, man. He's like, just be in his strength. Be strong in him. So my response then is, well, if I'm just going to sit here, I can, like, ask him, right? Like, give me some strength. So that's what I'm going to tell you, okay? You can ask him for strength, and it's going to go like this. Hey, God, I could use some strength. And you're going to be like, I don't feel anything. It doesn't feel like you just made me stronger. I didn't like rise up out of my chair, and I didn't like feel my muscles get bigger. I didn't feel my heart grow. I didn't like, there wasn't this like overpouring of spiritual emotion. It didn't feel strong when I asked for it. You didn't give it. So there's a question of how do we get the strength? Like, how do I get it? If I just sit there and ask for it, does he bring it to me? And if he does, how and why doesn't it feel that way? If I just ask for it now, what's it going to feel like? What's the experience going to be like? What does that look like? And I want to answer that, but I think that before I tell you how, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Before I tell you how, I want to tell you why. Because when you understand why, the how is going to feel way better. Okay, so hold on to that how, okay? I'm going to ask God. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to ask God to give us strength. That's the how. I'm going to tell you what that looks like. But first, I want you to understand why we're asking. We need to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might because it is absolutely necessary that we have his strength when we go into spiritual battle. Good luck loving your wife against an enemy who wants to destroy your marriage. If you are weak in the Lord, if you aren't prepared for battle, if you aren't strengthened in his might. So all that Paul's been teaching us through this letter are deep doctrines that we need to understand and practical commands that we're to engage in and pursue healthy marriage, raising our children, striving to be a slave, all those things that I mentioned earlier, and we face his opposition, the enemy, in those things. And so, yes, this preparation for strength is important. That's why we do it. The enemy hates these things that we are commanded to do. He aims at taking us down. And the strength of your enemy, Satan, is greater than you. He is stronger than you. Him versus me, I lose. That's the essence of what being a non-believer really is losing to Satan. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, speaking to non-believers, he says, in their case, the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Satan is winning. He's blinding their eyes. So human beings versus a spiritual force such as the enemy is a no contest. The human loses to the strength and the might of Satan and his army. Now, before we go giving Satan too much credit, let's also realize that he's blinding them because God is ordaining it and because he is using Satan as an instrument. So 1 Peter 2:8, Paul says, or Peter says, they stumble. He's talking about non-believers. They stumble because they disobey the word. Listen to what Peter says. As they were destined to do. So the blindness is Satan's strength being an instrument of our God who blinds them. Who destined their blindness. So if that makes you feel like, well, that's not fair, man. That's not fair to unbelievers. Well, good. That feeling you have, that's called compassion. Use it and go tell them about Jesus. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you are going to have a theological argument with me about what God does and doesn't do with believers and non-believers, I'm just going to say, if you don't have to agree or disagree, if you got beef, then go tell people about Jesus, right? Because regardless of what you believe about that, that is a command. So let that be motivation for you, that they are blind because they're destined to be blind by the enemy. But maybe they're destined to be unblinded. And maybe you're the means that God uses to overcome Satan's power. And how on earth could you possibly be strong enough to unbind what Satan has bound? You're not. So what do you need? His strength. And that is why we need to be strong, so that we can have strength that is superior to the enemy to unblind the blind. And not just for that, but to live out our own lives in holiness and in righteousness, we need his strength, because the enemy can kill you, physically kill you. It's possible. If God ordains it. So, we do need his strength. 1 John 4:4, for he who is in you, that's Christ, is greater than he who is in the world, that's Satan. So, yes, this is why we need his strength, because us versus Satan, we're blind and we lose. And Christ in us versus the enemy, that's not even a game. It's not even a contest. It's not like there's a wrestling match between God and Satan. Ugh, who's going to win? I don't know. We'll see. Good versus evil. It's not even God. Satan only shows up for the match if God lets him. If God makes him. And if he does, he loses. Because we know he loses because God tells us that he loses. So as we look into this spiritual battle that we're going to be, that you are living in right now, but we'll be addressing in the next few weeks, recognize that the enemy against you, he's lost and he's angry and he wants to destroy you and take you down with him. But he can't. Amen? He can't. Now, what he can do is like throw things at you, like arrows and, you know, fiery arrows, as Paul says. So, like, you know, you can like trip and stumble and, you know, there's a whole bunch of things he can do that can really mess up your life. But he can't win. He can't win. So
We need to be in that strength. I think part of being in the strength of Christ to face Satan as an enemy. We don't have to face Satan as an enemy to win because Christ already won. But we face Satan as an enemy every day because he's our enemy and he's trying to destroy us. So we respond to his attack and we go after his attacks. We respond to his fiery arrows that he throws at us, and we go and we attack his motives like blinding non-believers. We go after the enemy. We grab his hands and we rip them from the face of non-believers and we say, "See the light." So we go after him and we defend ourselves. It's both sides of that action. So we need the strength of the Lord to do that. I'm telling you, I cannot even make it through a single normal day without the strength of the Lord. How am I going to survive the spiritual battle against the enemy? Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever shared the gospel with another person who's not a believer? Okay, if you've ever done that, you've got to know that exhaustion, that utter, complete spiritual draining that you feel when that conversation is over. It is just, it sucks the life out of me. Because you pour, I mean, you're giving it all. It's like, this is all that matters for this person. You give it everything. And so when I was doing an evangelism mission trip, we did that for 8 straight hours. I got done, and they're like, "What do you guys want to go do?" I was like, "Sleep." They're like, "Let's go to the Statue of Liberty." I'm like, "I want to go lay down." Like, I have nothing left. It just sucks the life out of you. I need his strength to do anything effective in spiritual battles. So, that's why. How? Okay, how do I do this? So, that's where we need to be. That's why we need to be strong. But what do I do? How do I do? How do I get the strength? Now, first, remember, you don't produce the strength. It's already yours. It's in Christ. It's in you. The call to action is to simply exist in his strength, to be in his strength. So how do I get it? How do I be in it? Do I need to do something to possess it or to possess more of it? Do I just ask for it? And what did I say earlier? Yes! You just ask for it. Not because you don't have it and you need it, but because it's available and you can access it. 1 John 5:14-15. This is why I say, just ask for it. John says, "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." So, if it is God's will that I be strong, and I ask for that strength, he will provide it. So it's not just about, you get whatever you want as a believer if you ask God. If I ask God, he hears me and I get whatever I want. Sweet. It's not that simple, because what he's saying is, if you ask for anything according to his will, so whatever you ask, if it accords with his will, it's yours. So really, you have to ask for the things that God wants you to ask for because he wants to give them to you. All right, so strength fits on this list. Paul's commanding us to be strong. It's a command, so he wants to do it. It is God's will that we are strong in him, that we be strong in him. So ask for it, and he will deliver it. So back to my previous statement. Okay, God, I'm ready. I need more strength. Go! It's like this, I don't get jolted out of my seat like, whoa, man, I just felt the Holy Spirit move. I can just totally full of strength now. I can do anything. It doesn't feel like that. We don't experience it like that. Maybe some of you do. I need to hang around you more if that's a reality for you. But I don't experience getting things like that typically with anything I ask of the Lord. So I'm going to talk specifically about the strength, but this applies really to anything that we ask for. There's a catch. He doesn't always just drop strength at your front door like the UPS man. Like, hey, here's your box of strength. And you're like, open up, thanks. Put it on, see ya. You know, it's just, it's not that simple. He doesn't deliver things. And sometimes he does. I mean, there are occasions where I have seen or experienced, I've witnessed other people or have experienced myself, where I need immediate action from God. And I ask for it, or I've seen people ask for it, and he delivers instantly. I've seen him do it, and I know it happens. But typically, if you're asking God for strength, if you're saying, I need to be strong, that's the command. Be strong for you to go home today, and be strong. Why? So I can face the enemy, so I can fight the spiritual battle, so I can love my wife, so I can parent my children, so I can be a slave to Christ, so I can do all the things you've told me to do. As the enemy tries to stop me and ruin me and destroy me, I need to be strong if I'm going to do the things in spiritual battle that you're going to command me to do. So give it to me, God. Give it to me. Give me the strength. And we call on him, and he doesn't just automatically insert it into you. Like, why not? Why isn't that the way it works? That would be awesome. I said this to you guys before. What if we just said, give me patience, and he instantly gave you patience? There would be no reason to wait for it, right? So we really, God delivers in different ways. He delivers these things to you in different ways. So when we ask for strength, God may just put us in situations or give us circumstances or cause us to do something else as a delivery system for his strength. Okay? So he might put us in a situation or make us do something specific or give us some circumstance or some scenario or interweave, you know, I don't know, weave in his gift some other way. He's got other delivery systems other than the, you know, drop it on your head and you, boom, you get it. Because that's what we want, isn't it? I mean, seriously, that's what we want. When I ask God for wisdom, I expect it to be there immediately. Right? I mean, like Solomon got it. Why can't I just have it? I asked for it. You told me I can have whatever I ask. Whatever I ask for, I get. I want wisdom. You told me I should have wisdom. I should have wisdom. So if I ask for wisdom, I should get it right now. Right? So I'll tell you this. I don't mean to get off track about wisdom, but there was a time when I was in a situation where I needed wisdom. I said, God, give me wisdom. And then I made a decision instantly because I needed it right then. I made a decision, and the decision was a terrible decision. And I was wrong. And I looked at God and I was like, that wasn't wisdom. You didn't give me wisdom. He's like, you got it now. Right? So that is, sometimes God doesn't deliver to us the things we need in the way we need them. Okay? So, or the way we think we need them. Okay? And so sometimes he's got a different delivery system. So what are God's delivery systems for strength? Or if we ask for strength, how can we expect it to be given to us? So I'm going to give you three ways, just three, okay? We could go on forever about different kinds of things, but I think these are very general and this will cover most of it. Three ways in which, three delivery systems for strength, that God gets strength into you, that he helps you be strong. Number one, joy. Joy. Joy is your strength. Nehemiah 8. Israel wept. They heard the word of God preached. They realized, oops, we weren't doing this very well. They cry, and God says, what are you crying for? Don't weep. Don't grieve. Celebrate. Eat. Have fun. Be happy. And then he says in 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. God provided for Israel, he provided for them the truth of his word, the gift of wine and foods and celebration. He provides those satisfactions for them, and in being satisfied, they find joy in that satisfaction. Thus, they find joy in God as being their satisfier. So he becomes their joy. And that satisfaction and joy in God is their strength, of their source of strength. That satisfaction and that joy in God being the sufficient, satisfying provider gives them strength. So one delivery system of strength is God having satisfied us completely in Christ. That is the application for us, that we are completely set. God satisfied the Israelites in Nehemiah 8 with some things. For us, we're completely satisfied. All non-satisfying things in our life are conquered by satisfaction in Jesus. And so we are completely satisfied in Christ, and that eternal satisfaction he provides for us should cause you joy. And when you experience joy in him, it strengthens you in Christ. Number two. The second delivery system. Godly disciplines. Godly disciplines. How he gives us his strength may be a matter of causing us to develop his strength through godly disciplines and practices, okay? Reading your Bible, praying, serving, encouraging, evangelizing, meditating on the Word, fasting. I could go on and on with all these spiritual disciplines that we should all be practicing regularly, but those are some of the means that God delivers his strength to you. I am empowered in prayer. It's also exhausting, but also empowering. Because it takes some spiritual life to do it. It takes some spiritual power to do it. God feeds you himself in doing it. And so prayer, for example, is empowering. Reading your Bible strengthens you in knowledge. And that knowledge can be applied to the way you live. And so the knowledge is like a weight that you take into the world and use to develop strength. So these godly practices are essential for being strong in the Lord. So let me work backwards, a little more maybe deductively. If you are struggling in life, marriage is tough, your children are a mess, or whatever. I mean, or any things that Paul addressed in the verses, chapters before this. Okay, you're not living like Christ. You're not living in the light. You're not a slave to Christ. You're not doing good, or you're not following or having a hard time obeying. All these things in chapter 4 and 5 and the beginning of 6. If that's where you're at, when we look backwards, I'm going to say, you don't have strength. You're not strong in the Lord because you're losing battles. So if that's happening, I'm not saying that if those things are happening that it's because you're not a good Christian, but I would be willing to say that there is a need for things, spiritual practices and godly disciplines to be developed so that you're prepared for the battle that the enemy is whooping you in. And you might think, I pray every day, I read my Bible all the time, I do all these godly disciplines, it's not working. Maybe there are some that you're not trying. Maybe God wants more. I don't want to be legalistic and say you got to do all these practices or you're not a good Christian. But you want to grow and you want to be strong, you need them. You need time in the Word. When was the last time you fasted? When was the last time someone asked you when you fasted? Right? I mean, consider that. A day, no food, and every time your stomach growls, you pray. Which means you're going to pray a lot. I mean, why don't we do that? And I think for some people, a lot of Christians, we look and say, well, I don't even read my Bible or pray, let alone fasting. I think I got to do the other things first. Yes, do them. So I'm telling you, sometimes God delivers his strength through the means of us, him making us do so. I say, God, give me strength. And he might just go, read your Bible. Pray more. I mean, you know, let's develop a relationship that's a little deeper and a little more solid, a little, you know, more fruitful and productive than the relationship we currently have. And as that happens, you will get stronger. I will give you more of me, and you will grow, and you will be strong as you're asking. So no, I'm not going to just drop strength on your front porch. I'm going to make you come to me. I'm going to go after you. I'm going to pursue you, and I'm going to make you read my word. I'm going to make you pray to me. I'm going to make you fast. I'm going to make you meditate on my word. I'm going to make you do these things. So maybe today, and this message is the message that God is using to get through your head, that there's something he wants you to do, and maybe that thing for you is different than the person next to you, but there's a next step for one of you, or for all of you. We each have a next step, whatever that is, I don't know. It's different for you than it is for me. And maybe this is the means, right now, today, you hearing me say it is the means that he is using to say, I got to take that next step. And in doing so, he may deliver to you the strength that you need. Number three, final one. God's delivery, third delivery system for strength. Weakness. Weakness. God loves your weakness. He loves your weakness because it is a platform for his strength. Now, he doesn't love you being weak, but he loves what you're incapable of doing because it shows what he is capable of doing. And what we do know from Ephesians 3:20 is that he is capable of doing far more abundantly than anything we could ask or think. So even your weakness isn't a big enough platform for his strength. So let that be something to think about, something to absorb, that your total and absolute and utter most weakest point in your life is not a big enough platform for his strength. Meaning for you that any degree of weakness in which you exist at any point in your life is completely sufficient for the strength of God to recover, to conquer, to endure, to reign over, to work through, to use. So he gives you his strength because you asked for it, right? You asked for it. God, give me strength. Don't be surprised if he puts you in a situation where you encounter a challenging time in your life and your weakness is exposed. See, all the other ways kind of sounded cool. It was like, all right, so I'm going to, you know, get strength through joy. Woo, cool, I love joy. All right, I'm going to get strength through reading the Bible more. I can do that. But what about I'm going to get strength through trials? Yeah, what? Like, I don't want that. I wanted choices one and two. Those, preferably choice one. That sounds really fun. You know, drinking wine and eating fat and all that stuff that he told the Israelites to do. I want that. And that to be my strength. I don't want weakness. I don't want to be exposed and humbled and humiliated and weakened and cast down and thrown to the ground and defeated and feeling like I've been destroyed just so that you can show up. And sometimes he does that. You ask for strength and he just might put you in a situation where you would recognize that the strength you needed to survive came from him and only him by making him your only resource. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. The focus there is that on whatever you face, there's two things. Whatever you face, number one, it's his will that you face it. And number two, as a believer, he will provide endurance for it. So you can know it's on purpose, no matter what it is or how hard it is. Know, I mean, think about that for 1 second. Think about, what am I really going through in my life? What are my biggest struggles? What things make me cringe when I think about them? What things make my heart skip a beat in agony as I think about it's going to happen today again? Or this thing is a reality in my life. What is the brutal, painful, terrible, agonizing realities in your life that just hurt? Whatever that is, be comforted in this, that it is His will. And I know that sounds totally counterintuitive, like that's His will? That doesn't sound comforting. It is also His will to comfort you and to provide for you endurance. Endurance when being tempted. So, it is His will so that you would be in need, so that He would be who He is, the satisfier. And in His satisfaction, you will find what? Joy. So, rejoice in the times when you are incapable of winning and you're too exhausted to go on, because those are the times when God shines through you brightly. And leaves you with no question as to whose strength gave you the endurance to go on. So, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, because you will need His strength and His might as we move forward and face the enemy who is behind every Christian battle. And as for this week I want you to do 3 things. I'm giving you homework. This is your assignment. Do this, okay? Ask for joy. Ask for joy so that you may be strong in the Lord. Okay? Ask for discipline in godly practices so that you may be strong in the Lord. Ask for weaknesses exposed so that He would show His strength and you would be strong in the Lord. That is your goal this week. That is your assignment, to practice being strong so that when we address the enemy in the next few weeks, you're prepared, you're ready, and you're strong. Let's pray. Father, we rely completely, solely, and totally on You. And we know that it is hard. We experience the challenge of living out this spiritual battle every day. So I believe, Father, that most of us struggle mostly through spiritual battles because we don't have enough strength. We aren't being strong in Your strength, in Your might. So let us be, by giving us joy, by giving us discipline, by giving us weakness, and work in and through us and be strong in us, so that we would glorify You as we battle the enemy in Your everlasting victory over him, and let the end of that be a sweet celebration of how good and how awesome and how glorified You are. We pray all this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.